Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. Hi, it's Rusty, Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're tuning in. It's so cool. It's hump day, my favorite day of the week because I get to explore somebody's path with you, all of you, all 90,000 plus bazillion of you internationally, all over the world. And you cannot wake up to a better day with a better feeling and being more motivated and charged to deliver some really fabulous guests and tools to help you live and thrive, because that's what it's about. Life is to live and love. And this week I'm extraordinarily, crazily, Mad Hatter-like, and there are top secret things like the video blog that's coming out. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Yes, there is going to be a video blog series that my photographer Jay Burns Studio out of Portsmouth and I are working on, and that should be launched, we're hoping, September, October time frame. So be on the lookout for that. Yeah, very exciting stuff. People keep emailing me and asking me what a Rusty is, and, well, you're going to find out. And I think we're going to go and rope climb, which, being terrified of heights, this will be a very personal look inside me as a person, as a coach, as a mom, and as a chicken. Cluck, cluck. So that's very, very exciting. There's lots of changes in the air, and I think the video blog is going to be the best way to explain those. Things that you don't even know about, Amy, because guess what? I never see you.
I know. We need to make an appointment.
I know, right?
That's what we have to do, literally.
I know. I'm in the same boat. So today, you know, this week has been grabbing the bull by the horns. If you follow me on Facebook, I'm really, really motivated. Maybe it's because I go to the gym 5 days a week and I'm seeing some major results. I've got like the hottest legs I've ever had, even when I was modeling back in my teen years. Dude, they're the bomb. So I'm really rocking it and I'm motivating, and lots of changes, really getting ready to juice. And do a little detox there, and that's going to be fun. So I found a quote today, and I think it just tees up my mood and how I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping it inspires you. And the person we have on, she is amazing. She is a martial artist, a shaman, crazy fisher lady, goes out fishing, and what else? Oh, God. She went shooting at a women's shooting thing this weekend. And,
yeah, shooting gallery. Yeah. I want her in my colony when this all goes wrong.
Exactly, exactly. When the zombies come, she's my leader. She's the general. We'll fight over you.
Yeah.
So let me get to the quote.
We'll all be in the same camp.
You'll have way too many redheads in that camp.
Hey, I love redheads.
That's right. You've got to live for the redheads. We are a dying breed, unfortunately. So here's the quote. I'm going to kind of tee up this inspiration, and I want people to really, really sit back and listen and absorb the words that are coming off of this paper that you can't see, but I can. Just play with me, pretend, and feel it, and grab that bull, and enough with the negative thinking, and enough with the I can't do this, you know. That's what this whole show is about. That's the intention of the show, is to motivate you and get you excited. And I'm always excited. So here's the quote. Why do I succeed? I succeed because I am willing to do the things you are not. I will fight against the odds. I will sacrifice. I am not shocked by fear, insecurity, or doubt. I feel these emotions, drink them in, and then swallow them away to the blackness of hell. I am motivated by accomplishment, not by pride. Pride comes to the weak and kills the heart from within. If I fall, I will get back up. If I am beaten, I will return. I will never stop getting better. I will never give up, ever. This is why I succeed. Isn't that great?
Hmm.
You know, and I think in kind of a gritty way, it really demonstrates how if you fall, get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Have that motivation. Get over your ego. Get over that sense of fear-based failure stuff. Just get back up and move forward, one foot in front of the other, and you're going to do it. So, without further ado, my favorite redhead within a 30-mile radius of me. Don't tell Dawn. Don't tell Dawn I said that, because she'll kill me. She's my other favorite redhead. She's, that's right. She's not tuning in. Sarah Hart, shaman, diviner, guru of fishing, amazing frog catcher, martial artist, now a handgun specialist. What don't you do?
Yeah, I guess I do everything.
I know. A special ed teacher, right?
Yeah, special ed teacher. Primary employment there, I guess, in the, you know, typical quote-unquote world.
Right. The J-O-B, as we like to call it, in
yes,
coaching world, the J-O-B.
That's my J-O-B. Fortunately, I love my J-O-B. So it's good. I get to work with some really cool kids and, you know, they're kids that like the same things I like, running, jumping, climbing trees, getting into the dirt, you know, that kind of thing. So love them.
So who is Sarah? I mean, Amy and I are very privileged. We've even been able to hug you. We get to see you once in a blue moon. You get to see. I haven't gotten a hug from either one of you in forever, so I'm neglected here. So give our audience an idea outside of what I've already tried to express. Who you are? What do you do? What makes you tick? What inspires you?
Well, I guess, you know, it's so funny because when somebody asks me, who am I and what do? Normally the first thing that comes to mind is that kind of thing. You know, I was the kid who ran around in the woods and caught, you know, frogs and found turtle shells. And thank goodness to my mother who let me drag animal bones inside the house. And, you know, I was a kid who planted her own herb garden and didn't quite really know what to do with everything once I'd planted it, but was really proud of it. And I think, you know, that kid who, you know, ran around and from the Midwest kind of grew up into me, which sort of does the same thing. You know, run around, play outside. I have, the, like I said, the great fortune to be a special education teacher, and I really enjoy my job. And, you know, I'm on summer vacation and find myself, you know, fishing and playing. And a few years ago, really found myself called to, well, probably more than a few years ago, but I spent a lot of time actually ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
We do that, don't we?
Yeah, I know. And kind of actually actively running from it. but called to the shamanic path, which is really interesting. And I ended up running into, you know, my elder and my teacher, Ann Souza, and her partner, Holly Brown. And just so grateful for them and amazed at all the work they do in the world and very grateful to have learned from them and spent a lot of time running away from them and being like, oh, yeah, that's great. I will call you later. But really when I stepped into my truth and what I'm meant to do in this world, I find that, you know, the thing that drives me is really bringing balance and really just connecting with the world, connecting with my ancestors and the ancestors around me, connecting with and being in balance and helping other people be in balance with what's going on around them, whether it's, you know, the trees and nature and the animals or, you know, communities that surround them or, you know, the world in general. So it's all very multi me, but I think all of that stuff, all that running, jumping, climbing trees, turtle shells and frogs and fishing, it all kind of comes in to be connecting me to nature and the world around me and what I can do to help people and bring in these connections with the world. So that's sort of me in not so much of a nutshell.
The tree. You and the tree.
Encounter, you know, you said you kept running away. So what kind of struggles did you overcome through the process of finding the true you or the, you know, Sarah?
Yeah. Well, you know, as much as I love my parents, you know, my family dynamic was one where my father was an alcoholic and kind of controlling, and, you know, we couldn't really, there was so much worrying about what was going on within the family dynamic that I didn't really self-advocate for myself. So there's one thing, you know, like stepping out and saying, I can do this, and it's me, and, you know, I can do these things. Two, it's kind of scary. Like, when I came, mm-hmm. I'm from Iowa, and I moved to New England, and I was trying to find a job, and sort of as all of this stuff was happening, as all of this stuff was coming to a head, and knowing that, you know, I mean, I'd met my teacher, and I'd met, you know, I'd gone to a couple, you know, events, or just even been in the presence and worked with, you know, Ann and Holly, and it was like, wow, this is really connecting with me, but it's scary, you know, it's scary to really step into your truth and to accept who you are as a person. And at the time, I was running a newspaper route, which was kind of cool. But, you know, they say you can get up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning and do the newspaper route and be mm-hmm. done by 6. You really can't. I was getting up at, like, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning to make it down to throw newspapers. And I was mm-hmm. throwing newspapers in historic Newington. And just everything there, you know, when you're awake for a long period of time and, you mm-hmm. know, the shamanic world, we call it non-ordinary reality. I didn't realize it, but I think I was getting glimpses of non-ordinary reality while I was writing my paper out. So, you know, historic Newington by the cemetery, blue balls, you know, glowing in the air. You know, I was very convinced and very truthfully so, you know, feeling very tied into an activity that was happening in the woods next to my house. And, you know, while I had teachers there to help me with it, at the same time, it also was a little frightening when you start to really mm-hmm. tune into the other world and tune into, wow, I can see this, and it's a little scary. But it's taken a lot of, you know, I have a good community and really stepping in and saying, you know what, I know what to do, and I know how to handle this. And thank goodness for Ann and Holly and my whole community there to help me sort of, you know, realize that, you know, there's a reason you're seeing these things, and it's to mm-hmm. connect with them and to help the world. So that's sort of, it was a big transition for me, you know, and being able to step into it and saying, you know, yeah, I am afraid, but I've got people looking out for me, not only in this world, but, you know, my ancestors look out for me, and I wouldn't be seeing these things if I couldn't manage them. So
absolutely. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And we would love for you to join in on the conversation. Sarah is a pleasure to have on the show finally. I had to duct tape her to the ceiling and tape the phone to her ear because we've been trying to wrangle her, Amy and I, for over a year now to be on the show to share her wisdom and personality and just amazing person. So call in. The number here is 347-205-9443. So when you came from Iowa, Sarah, what did you do? You started the newspaper route, which I've done for probably the same company, local company, and it is, you know, they do say that, but it's totally not true because you're sitting there waiting to just load up and you have to be there at ridiculous hours and... Yes, I can perfectly relate. So you came from Iowa, you started a newspaper route, and how did you end up stumbling across Ann, who's actually been on our show before?
You know, it was very, I'm just going to call it divinely orchestrated. You know, and I look back and on the whole, you know, we all have this story of how we fell onto our path. Like, this is definitely my moving to New Hampshire and all of this is just very much like, oh, like the impetus for everything else. I was living in Dover, and what had happened was I was seeing all this stuff going on, like there was this thing in my woods, and these teenagers would walk up and down the street, and one of them dropped a horse, right? And now I know, you know, from my own experience and what horse means to me, it was like not a real horse, like they didn't drop a giant horse. They dropped a ceramic mm-hmm. statue of a horse. So change your visual from not, you know, holding a stallion to holding a tiny ceramic thing. But
Thank you for clarification.
Glass statue of a horse, and they were laughing about it. And my partner at the time was very bold and leaned out and said, "Hey, you guys need to clean that up, right?" And Holly Brown from across the street, so I didn't know that she was my neighbor at the time, said, "Hey, you need to clean that up, right?" And I ended up talking with Holly, and I ended up, you know, being introduced to Anne. And the thing that makes the horse really important to me is horses very significant and symbolizes new beginnings and new starts and new directions. So it was an animal, and it's an animal that comes back to me from time to time that very much symbolizes to me, this is a new beginning, this is a new start, this is a new direction, right? So from that, I ended up, that one experience where two people were just willing to, you know, take the bull by the horns, like you said, and just stand up, really connected me with Anne, and, or Holly, which connected me with Anne. Because Holly was like, "Well, hey, my, you know, Anne's a shaman, you know, you might want to have her look at the thing in your woods." And then from then on, it was very much just a really great connection with them. And I'm so grateful, you know, I get to learn from them and learn from all the people around me. But that's how the journey all started, really, was the thing in my woods and the teenagers with the horse, the small horse, not the large horse.
I remember meeting you right when that was all happening. I met you right at that time.
Right, everything was in perfect alignment.
It really was, and I knew, I told you, I remember telling you that I felt something big was in store for you in your life. And I'd see you and I'd keep pushing you along, you know, keep going, Sarah, you know, because I knew that you knew where you were going. You were just apprehensive. And that's, you know, it is scary for all of us. You know, we deal with it in different ways. But that's why I'm so blessed to have watched you transform.
Well, and I'm so grateful for you, Amy, and, you know, Rusty, and it really speaks to the power of community in people's lives,
exactly.
And that's something I'm very passionate about is, you know, we can move through our lives from day to day, and we see people, and we see our neighbors, you know, and thankfully I've had the great fortune to, like, know some people who live in, like, I live in a little apartment building, and I know my neighbors there. And, you know, some people live in neighborhoods where, like, they have barbecues with their neighbors and they're over at their neighbors' houses and they're connected in communities, right? And the same thing for many of the people around this ecosystem. I'm so grateful to be in, you know, Rusty's community and Amy's community and Anne and Holly and Dawn and, you know, it's amazing these people I know. But I really think without community, I would still be, I mean, you go on your path whether or not you want to or not eventually. You know, you can either step forward and grab the bull by the horns and walk into it and say, "Okay, I'm scared, but I'm ready." Or you can get dragged along for a little while until you really decide to stand up, get off your butt, and say, "Okay, I'm scared, but I'm ready."
Right.
Community is a vital part of that. Because if you don't have community, the struggle is much greater. I think community allows us to support each other, to step into our truth, and to step into our authenticity. And without community, we're a bit alone out there. You know, the Dagra, the people from which I've studied from, and, you know, they're a community in Burkina Faso, West Africa. I'm sure Anne has talked about them, too. They're just, you know, the community is so vital, and they're really teaching about community, and they have a lot to teach our culture about community and how people really take care of each other, and people support each other, and people interact. And that's, you know, from the magical to the mundane, you know. So it's just such a great and valuable blessing, I think.
Well, and I think Amy and I, you know, Amy and I have spoken many times over several episodes in regards to the lack of community and the lack of connectivity and connection and how we've evolved as a species into what a couple of episodes ago we were talking about, you know, being virtual and relying on this virtual persona instead of the emotional. We also encourage and support, I think it's backhanded. I don't necessarily believe it's intentional. I hope not, because I'm so positive. But everywhere we go, there's this negative, fear-based messaging, whether it's about self-worth or about wars or about religious issues and battles and gender issues and battles and sexuality and all of this negativity constantly invades our space. And I think individuals tend to or have evolved into this go to work, race to work, get your job done, race home, and not engage with the community unless you absolutely have to, which is very, very different than the way our species for thousands and thousands and thousands of years worked. We had to cooperate with each other. We had to work with each other. We had to band together because in our little villages, one person was really, really good at fixing the wagon, whereas another person was really, really good at gardening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we have to get back to that. That's why the world's going in the way it is, because we need to be able to do that, and that's why you're seeing what I'm encouraged to see more community recently, just in recent, even in the last year, that people are really starting, you know, farmers markets are booming everywhere. That is really cool to see that sense of community, that we can grow our own food, regardless of what's going on in the U.S. with all the, you know, the illness,
Monsanto stuff,
the foodborne, and you know, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a simple solution: go buy from your neighbor.
Right.
You know.
Well, it's so funny.
And that's
like,
what
even,
I'm doing now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's so much wealth and abundance all around us. Really, when we look
exactly.
at it, like I'm sitting outside at a friend's house. You know, I'm looking around, and it's this beautiful housing development, and it's wonderful. And they've got so much land and so much, like, and it's a neat little eco development. So, you know, the there's conservation property and everything, but it's amazing. You know, like, there's so much land available, and they've got garden beds, and their neighbors have garden beds, and everybody just, it's just cool. Like, when you have all of these resources and you know and are confident and are just, grasping or very sure of your place in the world and that abundance will come to you, then there's really nothing to fear from being in community and being able to give to other people, whether it's actual physical things or love and energetics or whatever, so...
Absolutely.
So the point that I was driving at or trying to get to is the fact that all of a sudden this community you've stumbled on, it stumbled on you. I believe in divine intervention, and we are guided to go where we need to go. A lot of people don't believe that. So you have built this community in the area. What were the steps for other people to build and accept and be brave? Because either way, you're going down your path, like you said. What kinds of steps do you think would be most advantageous for people to take in order to develop this community that we are so blessed to have?
Oh, my. That's a good question. Like, because I think of that in terms of, what helps for me individually is
right.
one to find and to have some kind of mentor or teacher or just someone you really connect with, right? And I have the good fortune to connect with many different people, but even just one person. And you know, it's funny because the educational research this week my teacher had, right? We can compare. Educational research shows that, you know, even people like who are trying to change their behavior, One person in their life can make a difference for them, right? So, and you can see behavioral change. So on the non-teacher side of things, you know, if you're just looking to connect with community, find one person and start really making an effort to, you know, not only, I think for me it was really stepping out and saying, yeah, you know, I work at a newspaper and I work at a local school and blah, 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 but I also kind of, you know, I have had these experiences, right? And that, you know, it's funny because when you find that one person and you're sure that they are open and loving, because I think that's another key is you want to pick the right person, but there's always right people out there too, is that, I don't know, it's like one person leads to many people. So I don't know if there's a step-by-step guide to it. It's really just taking that breath and stepping forward and saying, this is a little bit of who I am, and it's kind of like making a friend, except you're making a friend of a community. Does that make sense, Rusty?
Absolutely, and I think one thing that people need to, you know, step back and realize is instead of racing home, unfortunately, I have no room to speak whatsoever because I actually work out of the house, so I race 25 feet to my office and stay there for disgustingly long hours, but But for the majority of people, instead of racing home and kind of blocking out community and the world, become part of your community, become part of your world. And it just takes one person, like Sarah's saying. If you want to learn a new skill, you know, Craigslist is great. Be careful. MeetMe is another great option.
I like the
your local communities, your schools, your high schools have adult education programs that are, you know, very low cost, and it's your community people, you know, that are actually teaching their craft. You know, you can take advantage of those, you know, adult education in your local school systems.
Yeah, there's a great, there's over, well, around here, but I know everybody listens from everywhere, but, you know, there's the adult ed program here. And then there's even the meetup.com, which is how I learned about the women's shooting sport. And this summer I've gone to, like, mushroom hunting, and there's, like, a rock and mineral meetup. And so, you know, like, there's, I mean, I like that kind of thing, but there's a meetup for, like, everybody. There's the virtual yacht club where you can go and somebody lists that they want to sail on the lake for the day, and you just meet up, you know, you go and sail on the lake with them for the day. So it's really, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. But even, you know, can't start with people, start with the trees and the animals, and, you know, there's a bird that always shows up and talks to you. Well, why not? You know, I mean, it's so funny because people are our community, but animals and the plants and the trees and everybody and everything around us
That's
is our community.
Holds
us.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yes.
I love that.
Very.
That you included that because, well, you know me, Sarah.
Yeah.
I told you about my frolic to the Lavender Labyrinth in Utah. But that's how I feel about plants and animals and birds and bees and, you know, just everything that's here on this planet with us. It's part of our community as well.
Well, that's the thing. The same materials and minerals and water that flows through these plants and makes them stand up, you know, and that they're deficient in on hot days is the same water and minerals and everything else that is part of me. And even though I may eat those plants, it's still part of me, you know, and the dirt is part of me and I'm part of the dirt. And you know what I mean? Like, we're all part of each other. So we're not so separate from the creatures around us or the, and you know, like the woodchuck keeps eating the things out of the garden, you know? I mean, he's a brother, you know, even though he's really wouldn't like him not to eat the vegetables, he still is a brother, you know what I mean? And that's that's the thing, we're all made of the same stuff, so.
Right.
So when you are working with a child or, you know, I consider myself a child and I'm almost 40, so understand what I mean by child as somebody who hasn't fallen into that trap of what an adult is supposed to be. How do you engage with them in regards to opening up that sense of natural community? I think for me personally, I've chaperoned many field trips over the last, 19 years. and it still floors me when I'm on a trip to a farm, which is one of my favorite things to do, and, you know, 75% of the kids have actually never seen a farm or been on a farm. Mm-hmm. And it kills me even bigger, coming from Miami, like, it kills me, I'm still shocked that in this particular area, and we're surrounded with farms, that kids have not been to a farm, you know, coming from Miami, city girl perspective, like, you know, it's a shocker, but what are the kinds of things that you do to help engage and open up that sense of nature and understanding that we are all connected? Because I think people have a hard time realizing how connected we are to dirt and plants and life.
And all of that. You know, it's funny because, I mean, it's, you know, I think that, and, you know, the Dagara would probably resonate, well, I would hope that they would, right? But from what I've learned from them, you know, it's funny because they talk about the children being the most connected to the ancestors and the other side and the elders being the most connected to the ancestors and the other side. And it's all of us sort of in the middle. They kind of get confused, you know, and rightly so, because there's work and there's, you know, I mean, I have the work and the, you know, the car and the apartment and the student loans and the, you know, like, there's stuff, right? Like, and in the middle of our lives, there just gets to be a lot of stuff. So I would say, you know, it's really all about watching the children. And in a way that's like, you know, children really have a beautiful innate ability to connect with those things. I think of my niece who's all the way in Minneapolis, and it's so funny, my mom and I mean I have actually three nieces and one nephew. My sister, bless her heart, you know, has four kids, and I think that, you know, my mom and I were talking about Maisie, who's the eldest niece, right? And she's just got this ability, like, she goes and explores. She will go and wander across, like, they'll go out for a picnic, and she will go and, like, walk up to other people's picnic blankets and say, hi, how are you? What are you having for dinner? Right? And everybody in our blanket is like, okay, you know, at their blanket's like, but she opens up a conversation. She's got this innate beauty in her, and my other nieces and nephew as well, that they just explore. They see a plant. They want to know what it's about. Even, you know, the kiddos that I work with, you know, part of it is, I think, just taking one little thing every day and finding something amazing and beautiful about it. You know, like, I think about Dawn, and Dawn makes all of these lists of her gratitudes, right? And she shares about the gratefuls. And I think that, you know, that's really where I started, too, is if I felt like I was having trouble connecting and finding those things, finding that childlike heart, is, you know, make a list for yourself. What are five things that you really connect to just on an emotional level? You know, the grass is green, this plant is really neat, I like this bird, you know, it makes me feel good, that kind of thing. And I think the more you track it, the more you look for it, the more you can integrate it into your life. It's just about practice and about changing your mindset.
I wonder if it's really about practice, though. See, what I find interesting, and being a lover of children, my house is constantly full. I adopt as many as I possibly can, mother hen type. They're really, 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 really good at it. They're very grateful and very exciting. But then all of a sudden, like, the switch happens, and we stop riding our bike. You know, like, the bike of gratitude, as a kid, we're totally into it, but then something happens and we just stop riding that gratitude bike, and then we have to relearn and be open and not... Yeah.
So maybe, you know, Anne talks a lot about the modernity, you know, and not to put words in anybody's mouth, but this concept of modernity and about how just the modern world can take us away from things. The attachment to money as you know, power and the things we have to do, and tasking really drag us away from the sacred and the magical, you know, and I think you just got to be able to see it, and either little by little or bigger by bigger, you eventually get back on the gratitude bike. But yeah, I know what you mean about that switch just happening, about people giving up the things that they love, you know, as they grow older, and like, man, why am I, and I did it too, you know, why am I no longer dragging turtle shells into the house? Well, you know, because I shouldn't do that, because they're dirty, because, you know, there's all these value judgments we place on things, like, oh, you know, it's weird to have turtle shells around the house, it's, you know, not what I'm supposed to do, and the shoulds, you know, that idea of, well, we should do this, or you should do that. I had a college professor, and it's so funny, you know, that this came from my college professor, but she said, you know, Sarah, she goes, don't should on yourself.
I was just getting ready to drink some tea when you said that. That would have been a mess.
We all go around and we place value judgments on ourselves, and we should on ourselves all the time, and we, you know, say, I have to do this, and I have to do this. Who says? No, you don't. You know, like, it's a choice. You got to make a choice to really decide, well, is this something I choose to do or not? Is this something I need to do? And you need to do certain things to keep the world running. But at the same time, I think when you can stop placing that morality and judgment on yourself and really turn and look at what's happening around you and the connectedness of it all and the magic of it all, I think that's a big, huge first step, that morality and judgment. So.
Yeah, and if you choose to shit on yourself all the time, you know, diapers are really a great method. And nah, just kidding, I'm being awful.
so there's also power in owning it, you know? If you are shitting on yourself, if you see it and you
gotta own
it, then at least you own it. Like, you say, you know what, I'm going down today, and I know I'm shooting on myself, and I'll take care of it, you know, but you can allow yourself to be in those spaces and places. There's no judgment, you know, that's the thing. Like, if you're sad, you're sad, and if you're angry, you're angry, and if you're upset or you feel jealous or rejected, you feel those things, and those are authentic feelings, so work with it and wrestle with it, and you can come out the other side. I think it's when we start playing, well, I shouldn't feel that, then we end up in a cycle with it that just lasts forever, so...
Well, and that's an expectation and a judgment that is completely unnecessary. So as we learn and evolve and become more spiritual creatures, whichever spiritual path that is for you out there in radio land, we start understanding that criticisms, judgments, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, none of that has actually any meaning. So in my understanding, going through my spiritual path, letting go of detachments and attachments, detaching, and really letting go of individuals who are stuck in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, that's been really empowering for me personally. I find it really amazing the individuals who are the most well-intended people. They genuinely are very well-intended, and they have great hearts, and they mean well, but they get stuck in this place of criticizing you, telling you what you should be doing and how you should be doing it and where you should be going and who, you know. Most parents are fabulous, and I hope I'm never one of those parents, but who you should marry and what income that person should have. And, you know, we're constantly inundated, whether it's personal, family, close connections, friends who, well, you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't wear that or whether it's employment. I mean, there's a lot of criticism in our... I had a manager who was so honest with me. She said, you will never, ever, ever succeed. You will never be good enough. And I said, why won't I be good enough? She said, because you're not perfect. So I will always criticize you. No matter how good you're doing, you can do better. I loved it. That was a realization point. That was a real strong point that this isn't the kind of job for me. I'm stronger than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the mentality, and that's what we go through, whether it's as a child with a teacher criticizing, challenging you, telling you, you know, you could do better, parents, whatever. How do you recommend people to, you know, accept, in the sense of acknowledge these people are listening or talking to you? Don't be rude, but... Oh, Amy dropped off. Sorry, Amy, I didn't see you, honey.
Oh, too
but early. Not owning it, not internalizing those beliefs, those shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
How to not internalize the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. No, I've been through a lot of internalizing shoulda, coulda, wouldas myself in my past, you know, and I think, again, it goes back to community and having people around who are non-judgmental and love you unconditionally. To give you an accurate reflection of yourself, to that you can look in the mirror and see your spirit self and have an accurate interpretation of what you see in the mirror. I think it really is about what truth resonates with you. What is your own soul purpose in this world? You know, we all make, like I have, you know, what I said was we all have parts of the world inside of us. The trees, the groundhog, everything is our brothers, right? And so we all have this connection to each other, but we also have our own specific medicine that we bring to the world, our own specific truth, our own specific viewpoint and perspective that no one else shares. And that's important because that's your gift. That's what you bring. Mm-hmm. And so when you can have an accurate, not even accurate, but when you can have a confident and non-judgmental grasp of that and of yourself, I think that's when you can have power to accept that criticism and say, yeah, you know what, I do need to improve that, but at the same time not be like, oh, well, because I'm so crappy. You
know, right.
Yeah, I can see that, and thank you, you know, but it's all, you know, it's about coming from that central and self center of control and perspective on yourself. I don't know, that's been my experience. It could be different for other people. It's such a thing that I think life experience has taught me that, you know, it's really about accepting and loving and stepping into your own purpose and your own gift that you bring to the world, whether you know what that is yet or not, you know, and going from there. So does that, yeah.
I'm glad that you're using, in my experience, I've actually been focusing on using those words as well, because, yes, we can be successful in other people's eyes in certain areas, whatever they may be, but what works for me doesn't necessarily work for you.
Well,
right.
So, it's
my experience, but you,
right.
you help them along their own path and let them, and that's where, you know, humanity kind of fails. It's getting better, I'm saying, which is really encouraging. You know, step back and listen and listen to what people are saying, and you can help them, but it's in your experience.
Right.
You know,
because really what matters is the person who's going through it and their
right.
perspective and their experience, because, you know, I can have all of the advice in the world, but really what is important is how that person feels empowered to do what they need to do in their own life.
Mm-hmm. And seeing someone being able to do that and they interpret the right way and saying, okay, I don't have to do exactly what Sarah's doing, or Sarah doesn't have to exactly do what Busby's doing, but look at what's happening in her life because she did find her purpose. That's
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to get through to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when we step back a little bit and actually own our own world and our own life and our own attitudes and our own beliefs, and we, you know, I'm a true believer that silence is the best medicine. There are moments when silence is the best medicine, because my belief, my perception of what you're doing or my feelings in regards to your behavior or whatever it is really none of your business. That I have to own my stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people, they don't filter the concept that you have your path, you've got to go through your phases, your journeys, your whatever it is at that moment, and I'm just here to be a part of, but I'm not here to make you.
Right.
So I just think philosophically, my largest question to anyone out there that's willing to call in, feel free to join in the chat. We still have about 15 minutes left. The number is 347-205-9443. So I guess my philosophical question for the next 3 minutes or so is, how did we get like that? How did we become so critical and judgmental? And, I mean, it's almost like a controlling thing.
Hmm.
For, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like how does it happen that we lose our own? Yeah, I saw this video on YouTube the other day, or several months ago now, this girl who's like standing in front of the mirror and she's saying, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful. Like, she's like, I don't know how old, you know, I'm good at this.
A little blonde girl.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
You know, that child is inside each one of us. Goes, yeah, I'm great at baseball, I'm great at softball, I can catch a frog, I can do this, I can do this. And how does it happen that we...
all of a sudden, we're not great at all.
Well, and I think we write the story, you know, we take the things and we attach to them, and, you know, it happens to every one of us that we write a story, you know, and even I can write a story, everybody can write a story about how, you know, and it's adding that morality and judgment piece to it of, you know, okay, so I totally just set the, you know, kitchen on fire. Well, if you could either take it practically, like, wow, I shouldn't have done that again, you know, like, or, you know, I should learn not to put the Pyrex on top of the, you know, the burner. That would be a good idea. Or,
right.
Wow, I'm so stupid for doing that, and why didn't I think, you know? And some of it, I know for me, some of it came from familial upbringing, and, you know, it's about ancestral lineage, too. You know, like, it's tracks that I hear my dad in my head, you know, saying those things to me when I was a kid, and I'm sure he heard his dad in his head saying those things to him when he was a kid, and I'm sure his dad heard those things in his head, you know, so I think there's a lot of ancestral patterns, too, that we deal with, that we have to learn to unwrite or rewrite, and we have that ability to rewrite and to reclaim those negative things from our ancestry, but at the same time, you know, you've got to be able to grab it and identify it and shift it, so... you know, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Either I go, okay, Dad, you know, he's on the other side now. Like, leave me alone. I'm gonna cook the freaking chicken, and it's gonna be okay. And I set it on fire, but that's all right. You know, everybody's safe, and I'm not stupid. I just didn't know that Pyrex can be put on side a burner, you know, or you can fall into it. And I know that's a really odd analogy, but it did happen to me.
I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that was a real story.
General analogy. Don't put Pyrex on top of a burner and turn it on. That's all I have to say. So,
yeah, I'm good. I'll pass.
It's funny. I have had that experience with my
son. You take the message or you don't. So.
Yeah, and we all do things, and that's part of, like, you know, my, you've met my daughter, this just fun, amazing person, and one thing that I've learned from my familial history of constantly very similar background to you, Sarah, is that I want her to go out and make those mistakes. Like, she was cooking cupcakes last night, and she's eight, and she forgot an ingredient, and she's like, oh, Mom, and she was so frustrated with herself, and I'm like, it's not a big deal. You can add the ingredient now, you know? So for me, I try to overcome that historical stuff.
Yeah, the lineage garbage that's out there.
Yeah, because I acknowledge what I do to myself. Like, if I forgot an ingredient, I'd be like, oh, shit, you dummy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I've had to learn over the years not to do, because it was so much a part of my childhood, that negative stuff.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, you know, like, I mean, when you think about the, you know, the amazing things that have come from people making mistakes. Like, I think half of the cleaning products and packing materials we have is because somebody did something weird to plastic and it extruded in the wrong way. And now we have,
totally.
You know, hey, look, we've got a magic eraser. This is awesome.
Exactly right. That's how we got the Goodyear tire. But
I know, right? Penicillin, come on. So, you know,
right.
Sure, you could be like, oh, you're so stupid. You left the bread out. Throw it away. You'd be like, wow, this is medicine.
You just saved thousands of people.
Right.
You know, that's how lavender oil was found, too, is by mistake.
Yeah.
A guy burnt, a French chemist, was working in the lab and something exploded. And he got a really bad chemical burn, and he put his arm in a huge vat that he thought was water, but it was lavender essential oil, and it healed his arm. And that started the whole research on essential oils and their medicinal properties.
There's so much amazing stuff in this world. Like, why waste time on, and that's the other thing, why waste time on the negativity when you can embrace the positive and go, wow, this is a cool new experiment.
Exactly.
This is a cool new, you know, lately I've been spending a lot of time, I work at a school, and then my other job, the JOB job, which really isn't a job because I really like it, is office managing for my friend who's a physical therapist, you know, True Balance Holistic Healing. And right now, for example, they're out in the British Virgin Islands. The other side to her business is this dolphin business called Pure Fen.
Yeah.
You holistic wellness experiences in the water with dolphins. And they're in the British Virgin Islands as I speak, right?
Lucky.
The thing about working for this person and becoming friends with this person is, and the people that, you know, introducing myself into another community, is that when you start new ventures and new business ventures, and this is something I'm learning because nobody in my life ever did this before, you have to have this outlook like, wow, I can change the world. Well, I can do this. And I'm not saying that, but it's just this amazing energy that's there. Does that make sense? Like that there's something to bring, and there's such magic and beauty and wonder in the world. Like, why not embrace that, you know, and why not go forward with that? And, you know, and I don't know all the ins and outs of Crystal and how she, you know, has manifested this for herself, but at the same time, it's like, this is something that impacts the lives of so many people, like holistic experiences in the water with dolphins, and even, you know, my own life, like, it's just, I don't know, like, there's so much amazing, wonderful stuff in the world, like, why spend time on negativity and downer, and you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that was, but yeah.
No, but what's awesome about that, Sarah, is as soon as we started talking about you know, changes in healing and ownership and negativity, you got really, really super excited. And that's the Sarah that Amy and I have the privilege of being able to hug a few times a year, for me at least, is this exciting ball of red, fiery, headed, positive, light person. And you're a huge joy to have in the community. You're a huge joy as a friend. And I feel very blessed to have you a part of my life.
There's just so much cool stuff to do and meet and things that impact people and impact the world. And you know, like, I know there's great things that we can all do together as a community and that we all can give to each other and to the world at large. So
this is the part of the show where I'm going to kind of change and put some brakes on, because I want you to shamelessly promote yourself. How do people reach you? How do they find you? You know, do you have a website?
All right. So I have a Facebook page right now. It's under Elemental Heart, E-L-E, you know, Elemental, and then Heart, my last name, which is H-A-R-T, instead of heart, like heart in the homophone, right? So it means here, which is pretty cool. So Elemental Heart, Facebook. You know, they can also email elementalheart@gmail.com. I'm always checking that. You know, you can, I write the blog for Pure Fin, so purefin.wordpress.com, which is the Dolphin EVI Holistic Wellness Experiences. Check out that website, purefin.org. That's all about the whole thing there. How else can you get a hold of me? I don't know.
Well, they can definitely get a hold of you by going onto my Facebook page, because we're connected, of course, or Amy's Facebook page, because the three of us are connected. So, you know, if you forget Elemental Heart, Facebook.com.
I've got another one. Elemental Heart is sort of the businessy, but you can always just message me on my personal Facebook page, too, which is Sarah Heart, Sarah with an H. You know. Yeah, that's how you get a hold of me. I do sorts of things, so shamanic practitioner, diviner. I do cloth divination that is from the is a Dagra from Burkina Faso. I am a minister. I'm going to be Justice of the Peace. I
did not know you were a minister. How did I not know that?
Well, it's a new thing.
What kind of minister? You were just
a
woman of too many trades. I can't keep up.
So I'm a minister. Well, you know, there's not really a seminary for shamanic, Hindu, Buddha, pagan people like me, and I really wanted to be somebody who could help other people. So I'm a minister of the Universal Life Church. That's also what I'm going for, with the Justice of the Peace as well, so I can have a little more representation for people in sort of the more political, not extremely political, but I can find things, or I guess I can do arrest warrants. I don't think I would need to, but I can marry someone that way too. More civil ceremonies. So I'm pretty pleased about being able to just represent sort of the energetic population in that way.
Very cool.
You're
going to be doing weddings soon, huh?
I know. Yes. Energetic first responder. I mean, all sorts of things. I do all sorts of things. So jack of all trades. But
very cool.
That does not mean lodging. That means I go out, and if you got some weird shenanigans going on your property, I'd love to take a look. I'd love to walk the land. I'm from Iowa, Iowa girl, so the energy of land really speaks to me. And, you know, if there's cemeteries, that kind of thing. So definitely love to do that as well.
And we're going to have you locally at UV and the Seacoast for our interfaith healing service.
Oh, yes, that's right, Amy.
Yeah, in October 2nd. So we're very thrilled to have you come and do your elder work. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Let me actually repeat what I kind of understood, because you were going into the virtual warp zone, Amy. You said something about a healing, interfaith healing.
Interfaith healing service at UNV of the Seacoast.
Yep.
They're every Wednesday night, and Sarah's agreed to be our guest speaker or our healer for October 2nd.
Yeah. October 2nd. Oh, that's so exciting. Good for you.
I know. October 2nd, Amy hooked me up. Community of the Seekers. most likely, and this is the direction it's going in now, is I really want to help people get in touch with their ancestors. That's sort of the mission and part of why the Dagra are embracing, you know, letting or taking their medicine out to the world at large, is, you know, teach people about community, teach people about ancestors and how to connect with them. And I really want to just give some ancestor 101, really, and give people an opportunity to connect a little bit with their ancestors, maybe talk about ancestor altars, talk about just talking to your ancestors. And especially October 2nd is a great time because, you know, the veil is getting thin. I'm really excited that hopefully following that I will be able to do something for Dia de los Muertos, and we can have a little party for Day of the Dead a few weeks following that. And just a night to honor the ancestors, you know. So really big part of my life, and really excited to be at Unity of the Sea Coast on October 2nd to do that. Also, down at Higher Energy for a couple weekends. They've got a big thing coming up. I don't remember the date, but I'll be doing divinations there. I'll do divinations at a yard sale they've got coming up mid-August, or maybe it's mid-September. It's got to be mid-September. I don't know. On their calendar.
Okay.
And,
you're like me. It's like, I don't know where I am.
I'm working with my friend Michelle Lowry. I know Michelle's been on your show. She's got a nature retreat coming up.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I don't know a ton about it, but, you know, Michelle's awesome, so.
She is awesome.
Yeah,
It's a weekend retreat that she's hosting somewhere up north in Maine. You can definitely find it on my Facebook calendar because I put maybe I'm going to try to go. And it's in September. I think it's this first weekend of September, right?
I think so, yeah. It's not Labor Day, but it's, you know, the one after that. So
The 7th or something.
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
And I'll be going up doing divinations up there during that is the plan right now. So just really super excited to, and Michelle is such a phenomenal person to connect with.
Yes, she is.
I just love her.
Oh, I know, and every time we hang out, it's like, okay, well, we're here, what do you want us to do today? And, you know, always there's some kind of thing that needs, you know, ancestors or spirit or, you know, energy. The energy is just, it's cool. So I love Michelle very much, and it should be a really fun time. What she's putting together will be awesome.
Well, my friend, I hate to tell you, we have blown through an hour, believe it or not. And I knew we were going to go a little over, so I set the timer for a little over because I'm just, again, have been trying to get you on the show forever. And, it, you know, everything works out as it should, and I could not be more blessed and grateful to have shared you with thousands of other people. So the last question that I always ask everybody is if there was anything... One message, and that's hard, but if there was one message that you want people to take away from today's show, what is it?
Oh my. That is really hard, Rusty. Good grief. You know, I really think that we talked a lot about following your path and a lot about embracing that and stepping into it. I think it's just this, and this image in my head is just take one step. You know, take one step and try and make that step a forward step. Take one step and see where it gets you. And maybe you'll feel like taking another, because really what happened to me, you know, there was this moment, but it still took a lot of single steps to get there. And I think, you know, I believe in each and every one of you. I've never even met every of the 1,000 people out there, but you know what, if I can do it, anybody can. And we're all just people sharing the world, and if you just take that one step, maybe the perspective will change enough that, you know, it'll bring even more light and wonder into your world. I know it will. So.
Yay! Bye. Big hugs and lots of love to you, my friend.
Yes.
I love you guys,
I'm proud
too.
Of you, Sarah.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Rusty.
All right, my friend. You have a blessed day, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
All right.
Okay. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And we had fabulous Sarah Hart, diviner, shaman, fisherwoman, special ed teacher, healer, and I did not know a reverend, justice of the peace. goddess of things that are just extraordinary and extraordinary on. And I just hope that you get to listen to the show and really resonate with a lot of what she said. And don't forget to not put the Pyrex on the stove. She prefaced that a few times, too. So, next week, I have someone who I actually met at a cancer event. I've got to say, gosh, been running the show for 2 years, so almost 2 years ago. His name is Bill DiGio, and I botch his name all the time, but he's the sweetest fella in the world. He has a nonprofit organization here on the seacoast called Annie's Angels. And Annie's Angels was inspired by his mother. I'm going to leave it at that. It is an incredible story. It makes me teary-eyed every time I talk to this man. He is phenomenal, just the sweetest guy. And to give you a small clue as to what Annie's Angels is, it's an organization, nonprofit, that actually helps fund sick individuals who can't afford the medical bills. Yeah, he's really a hot ticket, and I'm just thrilled to pieces that he's finally able to come on the show. And just this month is an incredible month of authors and inspirational people and people to get you motivated, to grab that bull by the horns. And for whatever reason, that's the saying for the day, because it's come out of everybody's mouth today. But anyway, until then, know that I love you. Know that I just think you're beautiful. And I'm so grateful that every Wednesday I get to share in this journey with you all over the world. And keep those emails coming in. And hey, if you want to give me a phone call, that would be great too. I love it. You can find me at facebook.com/celiacroads or rustymacdonald.com. Chime in. Tell us what you want to hear. More of, less of. And lots of big things coming. And definitely, since the video blog is coming out, your input there as well would be very helpful. Again, until next week, love you. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.